Now, what I wanted to do, just before we finish our last carols this evening, is to speak a little bit about the meaning of Christmas. Because Bex, at the beginning, she said that she was going to explain, and that we were going to explain with the carols, with the readings, and with my talk, a story, the story of Christmas. And really, what this story is, it's about the meaning of Christmas, is what it all means. We know what Christmas is, we know what we experience, but I want to take just a couple moments to tell you why it's important. And it may be that some of us here, we've never really got to the very heart of what it actually means. But before I tell you what the meaning of Christmas is, I'm going to tell you why I think that you like Christmas. How many of you like Christmas? Of course, you wouldn't be here if you didn't like Christmas. And I think I've got a good reason why. Because the thing about Christmas is that it is totally predictable. The thing with Christmas, and I can summarize this in two words, it's what has always been. We love it with Christmas. We see the things that we have always seen. We see the things growing up that we saw as children. We have the same experiences. You see the same kinds of things on television. You know that on Christmas Day or thereabouts, there's going to be a wacky animated film. It's going to be Shaun the Sheep. It's going to be Wallace and Gromit. It's going to be something like that, because that's the way it's always been. You know that every house is going to have a tree in it. Why do people put trees in their houses and decorate them? I don't know. No, it's just that's what's always been. You know that there's going to be a rugby scrum in the shops. You know that there's going to be the X Factor Christmas, Christmas number one. Because these are the things that have always been. We do these bizarre things. We have stockings. We have mince pies. We have food that we never have at any other time of the year. Why? Because that's the way that things have always been. Christmas is totally predictable. It's totally easy to understand and predict exactly what is going to happen. Did you know scientists have actually predicted not only that you will have a Christmas argument, in the UK 60% of families will have a Christmas argument on Christmas Day, but they, not only that, they can predict when it's going to happen. Do you want to know when it's going to happen? The Queen's speech, very good. It happens like clockwork in 60% of UK households around about 3 p.m. I'm going to tell you why it happens then. The reason is, again, this is science, guys. The UK Food and Science Technology Centre did a study, and they discovered that we can predict why these arguments erupt on Christmas Day at 3 o'clock, like they have always happened in the past. It is because of the food that we're eating. Did you realize that in roast potatoes and in the stuffing, the breadcrumbs that used to make stuffing that we put in the thing, they're basically what's called fast carbohydrates. They have a high glycemic load. And what that does is that it boosts your pancreas to produce lots and lots of insulin, which can actually lead to irritability and mood swings. And so with the main course, you're brought up to this massive insulin high where it starts to affect your mood. And then you kind of calm down again until you get to the pudding. And scientists have said that the Christmas pudding and the mince pies, again, fast carbohydrates, pancreas, insulin, irritable, mood swings. And more than that, you've now got peaks and you've got troughs, peaks and then troughs. And the whole thing just overwhelms you. Meanwhile, all the salt that's going into the meal, you know, on the chipolatas and all those kinds of things, it makes you more thirsty than ordinary. And so you drink more and you're drinking more alcohol, and then it's interacting with the insulin, and then you're having coffee at the end of it, which just is like a cauldron boiling over, bringing in that sort of level of tension, and then you top it off with this great big stodgy full huge Christmas pudding. Scientists tells you that expands your stomach. And it increases the secretion of digestive juices, which can lead to indigestion. And by the time the good old queen comes on, you are just ready to have at it. Because that's the way it's always been. That meal that you never have at any other time of the year is responsible. It's not your fault, guys. It's not your fault that you have these big arguments. It is the food that's doing it. In fact, the UK Food and Science Technology Centre, they came up with an alternative. They said, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. You should have a meal, not of turkey, not of roast potatoes. No. That's just asking for trouble. You're your own worst enemy. Why would you do that to yourself? Instead, have a meal, a Christmas lunch of smoked salmon on rye pumpernickel bread with low-fat cream cheese and chives, because these release what's called calming phytonutrients, which just bring your whole system down and make you calm. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but if we had smoked salmon on rye pumpernickel bread with low-fat cream cheese and chives in my house for Christmas, there would definitely be a big, massive argument. Why? Because I want the turkey. I don't even like turkey, but that's the way it's always been. And some of you, you're going to go back home for Christmas and you're going to be in your old family home with the old folks, the people that have always been there for you. And you're going to be sleeping once again in your old bed, in your old room. And you're going to feel great because that's the way that things have always been. And that's what we want from Christmas. We want the predictable. We want something that anchors us. Every year we know that it's coming. We want to hear the same music tracks playing on the radio. We want to see the John Lewis advert. We want to get the normal traditions, the things that have always been, the things that have always been, the things that have always been. Why? Because for so many of us, life can be up and down. I mean, I don't know what kind of a year you've had so far. You may have had a great year, or you may have had a difficult year. Your relationship might have hit a rocky patch. You might have found yourself in a job where you're thinking, I'm not really sure I'm enjoying this anymore. Or you may be just hanging on thinking, where is the one? When is he going to come? When is she going to come round the corner? But at least at Christmas, we have a little bit of stability, a little bit of assurance, a little bit of confidence. Things as they've always been, things as they've always been. And what it does is it calms us. It comforts us. It reassures us. And that is why you like Christmas. Even with all the argy-bargy that goes on and the mad aunts and the crazy Christmas jumpers, you basically like it because it's comfortable, it's reassuring, and you know where you are. You know what to expect. Things are as they have always been. But let me bring you back to the actual first Christmas. And we've had those readings. And we chose those readings for a very particular purpose. We wanted one reading from the experience of Mary when the angel appears to her and tells her about the birth of Jesus. But then we also wanted the experience of Joseph, who gets a different kind of angelic visitation. Because with these guys, they were going about their life not expecting anything else. They were doing things that they had always done. Things were as they had always been. Mary, you need to imagine a 14-year-old, thereabouts. 14-year-old, peasant, teenage, illiterate girl in a dirt poor, tiny village. And things are as they have always been. She's betrothed to be married to a man a little bit older than her, but not by much, a guy called Joseph, who was in the construction industry. And basically, the way that they worked in those days, just so you understand the story, when someone's betrothed, when they become engaged, if you like, it's not like our engagement, where it can be broken off, it can be called off. In those days, in that culture, an honor culture, a culture which was all about reputation, a culture that was very strong on moral absolutes, the way that you behave. And to be betrothed meant that you were legally married. It meant that Joseph had paid the dowry. It meant that the family of Mary had paid the bridal price. And these two, for the year that they were betrothed, they didn't live together. But what happened is that she would go to be mentored by some older women who would teach her how to be a good woman, a good wife, a good homemaker. And he would go to prepare a house for them both to live in and to get everything ready and to get his affairs in order so that he can take away. That's the way that things have always been. And then for Mary, she has this angel that comes. And the angel says to her, Mary, you are going to have a child. And she suddenly goes from everything that has always been to something that has never before happened. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I know about the birds and the bees. I know where babies come from. I have not been with a man. You can't tell me that I'm just going to have a baby. This is awesome. I've never before experienced an angel. I've never before experienced the supernatural. With Joseph, it's even stranger because he actually gets a dream. And what's happened is that the word of the angel to this teenage girl, Mary, it starts to be fulfilled. But no one takes the time to tell Joseph. The Bible says, when they found out that she was pregnant. In other words, people in the village are looking and they're talking and there's whispered little rumors behind her, following her as she walks along about her chores. They see that her belly is out and they begin to ask some questions, and finally they go to the girl and say, look, either you've got some kind of weird stuff happening, or if we're not much mistaken, you're going to have a baby. And she confesses, yes, it's true, I'm pregnant. I don't know how, I don't know why. And at that point, Joseph, he has to divorce her. You have to legally divorce him when you're betrothed. Why? Because that's the way that it has always been. That's the way that it will always be. And he tries to do it in a quiet way, just to protect her. Why? Because with this scandal, in this male-dominated honor culture, she's going to be ruined. Her life is over. She's going to be destitute. No one will take her in. She's got no independent form of income unless she turns to prostitution. But he's got no choice, because if he doesn't divorce her, then people are going to say, well, Joseph, that's your baby. You are the guys that have broken the moral laws of our community. You would be shunned and you would be put outside good common society. And Joseph, he has a dream. And in the dream, God says to him, look, what you've experienced, what is happening here, it's from God. And this child has been born, it's been conceived of the Holy Spirit. And this child is called Emmanuel. And do you know what Emmanuel is? I'll tell you what Emmanuel is. Emmanuel is the intersection between what has always been and what is never before. So you see, always been and never before. And Emmanuel comes into that picture, because Emmanuel, the meaning of the term Emmanuel, and we've sung it in a number of our carols so far, Emmanuel, it means God with us. God with us. God who's always been. God who's always been around. God who's always been present. God who is eternal. God who's the immortal, the invisible, the Alpha and the Omega, without beginning, without end. He's always been. And yet, he is coming to you in a way that you've never before experienced him. Emmanuel, God who's always been, but with us in a way we've never before experienced it. And this is really the meaning of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is that we get to have the intersection of always been and never before. It means that for some of you, God has always been there. For some of you, you may not call yourself a church person, and even being in this environment, you're kind of, you're enjoying it, but you sort of slightly critique it on the inside, thinking, I'm not quite sure, and are these people for real, and do they really do this every week? But he's always been there for you. You've had some kind of knowledge of God, otherwise I don't think you'd be here this evening. Maybe you were brought by a friend, maybe you saw it, maybe there was something inside of you that at the time of Christmas you want to dig into and lean into the spiritual side of life. Because he's always been there. Because you may not go to church, you may not be a particularly religious person, but when something wonderful happens, you feel like you want to thank him. And when difficult things happen, you feel like you want to ask him. Because he's always been there. And you may not even be aware of it. You may not necessarily articulate this yourself, but I can tell you, he's always been there. And there's a part of you that knows that. But Christmas says, Emmanuel means that God who's always been there, always been present, always been there for you in some way, shape, or form. He now wants to be with you in a way you've never before experienced him. He wants to be close to you in a way that you've never before experienced him. And that is why we do this carols. That's why we do this service, because we want people to have an experience of the God who's always been there, but close in a way like you've never experienced him before. I don't know why people have different experiences. I don't know why, for example, the angel went straight to Mary and told her up front what was going to happen. You're going to have a baby. Why didn't the same angel go to Joseph at the same time? He lived in the same village. All the angel had to do, go a few doors down, knock on Joseph's door. Could have saved him a whole lot of pain. Could have saved him a whole lot of confusion. Could have saved him that sinking, heartbreaking feeling where I feel like I've been betrayed. My girl is pregnant with someone else's baby. Why didn't the angel speak to him and tell him ahead of time? And then he could have helped her and she could have helped him. But no, it was as if God said, I'm going to let you have a little bit of a hard time. And some of you, you've experienced, you've tried reaching out to God, you tried praying and it hasn't seemed to have worked, and you felt like, actually, I'm not like one of these people. My wife, she had an amazing supernatural experience when she became a Christian. Just God, bam, and he's there. It didn't happen for me. And some of you, you've had difficult times, and you've had questioning times, and you've had confusing times. And at the end of the day, Joseph doesn't even get a personal visit, just a dream. It's just a dream. And yet, he feels the presence of God with us. When never before comes into your life, it's the opposite of reassuring and comfortable. It is distressing, it's upsetting, it brings up all kinds of questions. But Jesus, who comes into our lives, he comes with this message, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. I know that this is a little bit difficult, and I know that there's a lot of questions that you've got, but I want you to respond. And that really is the heart. It's the meaning of Christmas. It's in one word, Emmanuel, God with us. The God who's always been in a way you've never before experienced him. The God you've always had an interest in, even if it's been buried most of the time, now wanting to say to you, this Christmas, how about you do something you've never before done? How about you open yourself to me? What I'd like to do is I'd like to just invite us to, to pray together before we do the last three carols, and then we're going to go onto the balcony. We've got the candles. We've got Jessie with her accordion. She's going to serenade us as we have our mince pies. High glycemic load. Be nice to one another. But I just want to invite you. In fact, this is what I'll do. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to invite us all to pray a prayer. And actually, we've already prayed this prayer this evening. We prayed it in the words of a song. And so I'd like us just to go through that the last verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem, and ask that this God, Emmanuel, God who's with us, would be close to us. The God who's out there, ethereal, omnipotent, almighty. That we, despite what we've been through, and despite the journey that you've been on, that you would open yourself up, that he comes close to you in a way you've never before experienced him. So we'll put these words up on the screen, and let's read them together. But let's do this in a prayerful way, and then I'm going to pray for you and then hand over to the band. Let's read these together. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Let's pray. Dear God, the God that's always been, the God from age to age, from eternity to eternity, we want to open ourselves up to you. And I want to pray particularly for those that we've never before prayed and asked you to come on the inside. We've never before experienced you like this. We've never before known the touch of your Holy Spirit. We've never before been aware of Jesus close to us, with us, helping us, touching us, filling us. I pray, dear God, that this Christmas time will be a time of spiritual awakening where we discover the God who's always been in a way with us like never before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.